It was the introduction to theater class, right across the street, about 100 years ago when I was taking it, give or take a few years. It was the first test. The first question on the test was, what is the purpose of stage lighting? I knew this. I'd been in plays in high school. Good grief. I went on and on with this wonderful dissertation about how light defines the space, how it sets the mood, how you can use different colored gels in order to create cool or warm environments. It was a wonderful answer, I thought. Until I got the test back and it was marked incorrect. And written next to it, in my professor's handwriting, was the primary function of stage lighting is so you can see the actors. It was a little simpler than I had been making it. But it reminded me of something that I knew, but that is easy to forget. When you're doing a play, every performer depends on every other performer. If you've ever been in a play and you've dropped a line or someone else has dropped a line, you know how much you depend on those other performers. And everybody is important. The third spear carrier on the left is just as important as the romantic lead. Believe me. As they say in theater, there are no small parts, only small actors. But that's not all of it. Because you see, you can't see those performers on the stage unless somebody is running the lights. You won't be able to hear the offstage sounds you need to hear, thunder or a freight train or whatever, unless somebody is running the sound. You won't be costumed unless somebody takes the time to make those costumes, fit those costumes. You won't look quite like your character unless there is some makeup. Every role is important. There has to be a director who keeps it all going in the right direction. A stage manager who makes sure that backstage things are going on time. You're at your place when you're ready to enter. Everyone depends on everyone else. Now, in the passage you heard Nancy read, St. Paul is trying to explain about spiritual gifts to a church that has gotten it all wrong. They've overthought this thing. Because you see, in Corinth, people came from literally all over the world. It was a seaport town. Most of the church were Gentiles. They had worshipped idols. Now they were followers of Jesus. But you see, some of those folks thought that because they had a particular spiritual gift, they were more religious, more spiritual, more important than all the other people whose spiritual gifts were far less important than theirs. They were the lead in the show, right? St. Paul says, about spiritual gifts, my brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but there is one Spirit. And there are varieties of ways to live out those gifts, but there's one Lord. There are varieties of activity, but the same Spirit activates all of them in every one. And the Spirit is given not for you, not for me, for the common good. He follows with this wonderful image of the body, saying, think of your body. The ear can't say to the eye, you're not a part of the body. The hand can't say to the foot, you're not a part of the body. It's a wonderful image. They all work together. I'm going to suggest that the theater image is very similar. I know from personal experience that if everyone does what they're supposed to do, then the purpose of gathering is served. And the purpose of gathering is to perform the play so that the audience comes and has a wonderful experience, a profound experience. They laugh, they cry, they go away with their lives transformed at least a little bit because of what they've experienced in that time, in that place. But it takes everybody to do that. And we don't do it for ourselves. You don't rehearse a play. You don't get everything together, have all the props and lights in place, and don't invite an audience. No, you only do it because there are people who are going to come whose lives might be touched by it. It's the same with us. Our many gifts are as various probably as the people who are in here. And if you don't recognize that you're spiritually gifted, then we as a church need to help point that out to you. And if you recognize it and haven't put those gifts to use, then we as a church need to encourage you a little bit to use those gifts. Because you see, we're not given the gifts for us. We're given the gifts for them, whoever them might be. They are our audience, so to speak. We practice, we pray, we are present, we name our gifts and practice using our gifts, we serve, we witness. Those are our membership vows. We're right in the middle of focusing on those. But we do those so those gifts can be shared with others. Always with others. Another image that's been helpful for me across the years is an image that Henry Nouwen offers. In a few minutes, we are going to be celebrating Holy Communion. We're going to be saying, this is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. This is the bread of heaven. This is the cup of salvation. And those gifts will be shared with you, and nourished by those, you'll be sent out to serve others. There's a pattern to that, Nouwen says. It's not just the pattern of communion, it's the pattern of the whole Christian life. I'm going to suggest it's the pattern of how we use our gifts. First, the bread and the cup are taken. You'll see it brought forward. It will be taken, received. It will be placed on the table. The second thing is that it will be blessed. And then the bread will be broken. Need to understand broken in a little different fashion here. The bread can't be shared unless it's broken. You see, it is in its brokenness that it becomes useful, that it becomes gift. As long as we're concerned with the loaf looking perfect and never break it, it's never gift. It's only when we break it and share it that it becomes gift. So we take it, we bless it, we share it. That's our pattern. Our gifts we have to receive. God offers them to us. God plants them in our lives. But we have to be willing to receive those and name those gifts. God blesses those gifts. And we are blessed, remember, for one reason and one reason only, to be a blessing to others. And then it's broken. We break open our gifts when we take the risk of sharing them. Anytime you step out on the stage, you take a risk sharing your gift. Anytime you step out these doors, you take a risk sharing your gift. We talked a little bit about that last week. Maybe that's the brokenness, the risk, that it may not be received, that it may not be considered good enough, whatever. But then we share it. If people don't receive it, they don't receive it. If they or we don't feel like it's quite good enough, doesn't matter. God can use it. God will use it. So I'm going to suggest that what we're going to take part in today is practice for sharing our gifts. All those gifts coming from God. When we take the bread and the cup, we're nourished by it, we're sent forth to share those gifts. Not only is the bread and the cup blessed, we are blessed to be a blessing. You see, When St. Paul says that there is one Spirit activating all these gifts, there is one reason that they're given in the first place: for the common good. Unfortunately, we've kind of lost the sense of the common good in our day and time. It's kind of each person for themselves. I have my rights. I have my rights. We have our gifts. Those gifts are given so that we can receive them. They are blessed so we can break them, so they can be shared. That's what we as followers of Jesus have. Not particular rights, gifts and blessings to be broken and shared. That's our pattern of life here. That's what we're practicing today. So you can go forth and practice it this afternoon and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day for as long as you live. Thanks be to God. Amen.